Well, the text before us this morning is Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. And we have finally made it to the end of Mark chapter 1, and it ends with just an incredible account of who our God is and what it is that He has accomplished for us. So look with me at Mark chapter 1, verse 40. We'll read the text. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places as they came to him from every direction. The story before us is a story that is more than likely familiar to most everybody here. But we look at this and we see something that is a picture not only of a leper being cleansed, but that idea of leprosy that we see as being a picture also of sin and the way that sin is and the way that sin operates. And we can find ourselves looking at this and saying, and I could be that man. I could be that person. At the same time, we're able to see Christ and His nature, His character, and who He is. I want us, as we begin the service, to look at what it might be like to be someone with leprosy. You can picture someone that is in a place of perfect health, being in a place where they have their friends, they have their family, they have a job, or they're in school and they're working towards that. They're in a place where they play games and they're in the community and they go to the synagogue and they go to the marketplace and they get their food and they go about their lives doing the daily things that would have taken place in Israel at this time. But then, all of a sudden, someone notices that they have a red rash that's appearing on their forehead. Usually that's the first place where it would begin. And they look and they are saying, well, what is this? Maybe it's just something that I touched that wasn't good, or maybe it's something that, you know, I ate something that's wrong. But according to the law, what they would have done is they were to go to the priest. The priest would look and based upon the criteria that's given in Leviticus, would make a decision as to whether or not what this person had was leprosy. If they found that the person had leprosy, everything changed for them. Everything. There was leper colonies that they would be forced to go out to. Leprosy is a word that comes from the word meaning scaly, and today it's known as Hansen's disease after a doctor who discovered it and named it in the year 1873. But it's a disease that would separate people from all of the rest of society. It would separate them from their friends. It would separate them from their family. It would separate them from literally all of society. If you had leprosy, you would be forced to go into separate areas that were totally away from everybody else in the city, and you would live only amongst those who also had leprosy. One rabbi said that he wouldn't eat an egg, even if it was peeled, if a leper had walked down the street that it was purchased on. That was the way that these people were viewed. If they had walked down the street and someone saw them, the rabbi said, "I would not eat an egg that was sold on that street." Another rabbi said that he would throw stones at any leper to keep him away. Someone that went from just being in a regular place in society to where people are seeing you walk by throwing rocks at you. The historian Josephus said that people with leprosy were to be treated as dead people, as if they didn't even exist anymore. If it was your spouse, treat them as if they were dead. If they were a brother or sister, treat them as if they were dead. If you saw somebody with leprosy, you had to remain 6 feet away if you were upwind, and 100 feet away, or some people say 150 feet away, if you were downwind. If you were any closer, you'd be considered ceremonially unclean. If you remember in Luke chapter 17, where Christ enters a village, it says there met him there 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They lift up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." But they're standing afar off. They're standing far away because they know that they can't come near. They can't come near to any of the people. If a leper were to do that, he could be stoned to death even for breaking the law and coming too close to the people. If someone with leprosy went to the synagogue, they couldn't enter the synagogue, but were forced to go to a totally separate room where nobody else would ever go. According to Leviticus, they would wear clothes that were torn, so they would be forced to tear their clothes to identify themselves as those that had leprosy. Some of you young people may already be sporting the latest leprosy fashions lately. All the teared clothes you pay extra for. They had to be bareheaded, so you could never have any kind of head covering that would go over at all. They would always have to cover their upper lip, and wherever they went, they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," constantly as they walked by others or as others walked by them. Something that would have just come out of their mouth constantly, "Unclean, I'm unclean," yelling it wherever they went. Never would they have any connection with anybody who didn't have leprosy. More than likely, their hair had fallen out, eyelashes, eyebrows as well. Just that's one of the first things that would take place is that would occur. Fingers would have become worn to just stubs. I've been in places like South Sudan where we went to an area that was a leper colony. Still to this day, there's approximately 3 million people that have leprosy to where it's permanently had a huge impact on them, and they're not in a place of recovery. That's just those that are known about. I'm sure they haven't counted people in South Sudan. In the 1980s, they finally found a way to treat Hansen's disease, and there's been 15 to 20 million people treated since that time. But it's still a thing that takes place today. And I remember going there and seeing this leper colony. It was dozens of people, and they had no fingers, most of them. Sometimes it'd be just a little stub. They would walk, but a good portion of their feet had been, were totally, completely gone. Frequently, they would be missing ears or a nose. At times throughout history, depending on the kind of leprosy that someone has, it was also referred to as Lyme's disease because it would disfigure people's faces to such a huge degree that it would make them almost look like they were lions, the way that it would swell in certain areas. And people would frequently lose limbs, very common amongst people with leprosy. And the reason why, as the studies went on, is that what leprosy does is it deadens the nerve endings to where you can't feel anymore. The way that some of these doctors discovered it was that one doctor was working amongst the people with leprosy, and there was an old lock that was all rusted out, and he was trying his hardest to open the lock and couldn't turn the key, couldn't open it, and a young boy came up and asked if he could try to do it, and he went and he turned it, and turned it fairly easily. And the doctor was like, how did the little boy do it? But I tried my hardest to do it. And then he noticed that blood was dropping onto the ground and saw that the young boy had completely cut his finger all the way to the bone by turning it. But he didn't even realize that he had done it. Other stories of people who had gone blind from leprosy because they had, on a regular basis, washed their face with scalding water, not realizing that they were doing it because it had deadened the nerves to that degree. Biggest problem with leprosy and the reason why they think that they would lose so many parts of limbs and things like that is because they would get infections because they would hurt themselves or burn themselves or cut themselves but not realize that it was happening because the nerves had deadened. Well, life's difficult for someone with leprosy. Forced to beg because they couldn't be hired by anybody within the community. And so they would just go and people would throw food at it from a distance. But even begging was difficult because for most people at that time, they looked at someone with leprosy and thought that the leprosy was there because of the sin that was in their life. They would look at someone and say, because of whatever heinous sin that they committed, they have this problem. And so a few people would even show compassion on them. And you look at this and you see Christ here. This man is someone who he's lost everything. Wouldn't even have wanted to look at himself in a mirror because of the changes that had taken place. Luke, the physician, in his account, tells us that this particular leper was full of leprosy, meaning that it had gone to the furthest stages. So he would have been someone who looked totally different. Nobody would have ever wanted to be around him. People would throw rocks. He would have to yell, unclean, unclean, from wherever he was coming from. More than likely had lost his teeth. His lips would have turned a different color, usually white. And someone where everything dear to them had been totally and completely removed, and he is at the lowest place possible in society. And so this man comes to Jesus. He came to him. Now, first of all, he shouldn't have ever done that. He shouldn't have ever come anywhere to where Christ was in an area that was public. He wasn't supposed to ever approach anybody, and yet he came. For him, it's, what's the worst that could happen? They stone me to death? But he comes imploring him, kneeling down to him. Kneeling down, and another account says his face was to the ground, saying to Christ, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You see, this man had to have heard from all that had taken place in just the first earliest parts in the ministry of Christ where people were coming to him from all places that were sick, that had disease, and he was healing them. But it doesn't give us any idea that up until this point had anybody ever, or had Christ ever healed a leper, or had anybody healed a leper. There's only one account of it taking place in Scripture. Miraculous healing of someone with leprosy. But for thousands of years, you don't get the idea that that's taking place. And he comes, and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I've watched, I've heard of all that has taken place, and I know that you can make me clean. I know you could do it. But in his mind, it's if you're willing to. If you're willing to do it, I know that you can make me clean. See, the reservation wasn't that he could do it. The reservation was, would Christ be willing to cleanse and heal someone with leprosy? Maybe it was because he was thinking, it's my sin, it's my sin. Any one of us could look at our lives and say, we have enough sin in us for there to be judgment that has taken place upon us, and it would be just. So he might have looked at himself and thought, I don't know if he'd be willing. Or he might be looking and saying, he's healed all these other people, but he can't even come near to someone like me. But he's bowing down, face to the ground, saying to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I know you could do it if you're willing. And then it tells us then Jesus, moved with compassion. Now that word there that it's talking about as far as moved with compassion gives us an idea that he is absolutely overcome with compassion to where it completely fills him as he looks at this poor man that is there, more than likely totally, completely disfigured, come to him, bowing down, saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Hearing the faith of the man as he's saying it, I know you could do it if you're willing. And it tells us Jesus was moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, the word touched him isn't that he stretched out his hand and kind of gave him a little pat. It's that he gripped him. No one had done that to this man, probably for years and years and years, decades. No one had touched him. But Jesus reaches out. He doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to touch him. We see Christ heal people in all different kinds of ways throughout Scripture. Frequently, he touches them. But he didn't have to do that with the leper. In fact, any of the disciples or anybody else that was around probably backed off to where it was only Christ and this particular leper there exchanging these words. But they all saw Jesus reach out, and Jesus, he touched him, gripped him. And you can just imagine this person, he's saying, if I could just get to him, if I could get to him and he would acknowledge me, I could just say, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he finally gets to him, he sees him, he says it, he looks at Christ and he sees the expression on Christ's face and he sees that he is just overcome with compassion towards him. And then to have Christ reach out and just grip him. What do you think it did to that man? I mean, just being in a place of, who are you? He touched me. No one's touched me. My family has gone away from me. My friends, I don't see any of them. It started on my face and it just spread and spread. And now I'm at a place where I'm completely covered with leprosy. And yet he reached out and he touched me. And as soon as Christ had spoken, I'm sorry, we missed a part there. He says to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Those words. What did it do to that man? I'm willing. If you're willing, I know that you can. I'm willing, Christ says. Grips him, touches him. I'm willing. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. And immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. You look at this, and it would have been a full restoration that occurred as far as if some of his fingers were gone or his hair was different or his face looked like a lion or his skin was all scaling or it was oozing or whatever the problem was, this guy's restored. Totally and completely restored. I'm willing, be cleansed, and it tells us immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. I look at this, and I see this as a picture for each one of us as far as what it is that Christ has done for us. See, for a lot of us, we don't like to think of ourselves as being in a place where we are sinners that are separated, alienated from God himself. And yet we are. The ugliness of our sin is like that. Puritan Thomas Brooks said, "Sin is the only thing that abhors God. It brought Christ to the cross. It damns souls. It shuts heaven. And it laid the foundations of hell." It's not a small thing. I mean, we look and we sin, and we know that we sin, and we confess our sin at times. But the fact of the matter is that we don't like to think of the grossness of the sin. We would rather be a sinner than a leper. We would look and say, man, that poor soul, poor guy alienated from his family, from his friends, these growths on his face or on his throughout his body, losing fingers. What a horrible, horrible state that man is in. But, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. We would never think of our sin as being even worse than the predicament that man is in. And yet the fact of the matter is, God abhors sin. Sin is so wicked that it brought Christ to the cross. Sin sends people for eternity to hell. And you begin to look at it and you think, I'm like that leper. There's some differences. The fact of the matter is he didn't choose to be a leper. Whatever it was that occurred, he got this. Yet we choose to sin on a daily basis. We do it on a daily basis. But being at a place where we can come to Christ and say, Lord, if you're willing, I know that you can make me clean. If you're willing, Christ, I know that you can take away all my sin. You can do it. It's not a matter of can you. The price has been paid upon the cross. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And listening to Christ as he's moved with compassion, stretching out his hand and touching us. Did he do that? Absolutely. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who had always been in perfect fellowship and existence with the Father from all eternity. The one in whom the angels cry out, holy, 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 came and was born in a stable and laid in a manger, became the least of all men, became flesh, took on human nature, took on a human body, fully God, fully man. And he reached down and he touched us. When he didn't have to, not at all. We weren't going around saying, unclean, unclean. Although we were. Nevertheless, he reached down and he touched us. And we see in salvation where God tells us, whosoever would come to me, I would in no way cast out. Where Christ would say, I'm willing. Be cleansed. And literally, all of our sin is immediately removed. It's not over a period of time as far as, well, we'll start here and we'll work on this. I mean, there's a sanctification process where we are being conformed more and more into the image of Christ. But all of our sins, past, present, and future, as far as our account with God, is completely removed, gone, hurled into the depths of the sea. Remembered no more. I'm willing to be cleansed, and immediately our sin is gone. Immediately it's gone. And we look at this, and if we start to think about it long enough, it brings us to a place of saying, I'm so thankful. I mean, how did that guy with leprosy feel? I mean, you can bet that as he watched his body go back to the way that it was before and starting to think, I can now go see my family. I can now go see my old friends. I can now walk around society and not have to yell unclean, unclean anymore. I can go into the synagogue. Everything's changed for me. Everything's new. Everything's different. I just have to go to the priest and have him confirm these things. Everything's different. And for us, our high priest has confirmed that everything's different. The sin has been removed. There's a change that's occurred. We are no longer aliens. Rather, we've been brought into the family of God. We've been brought into a place where we are clean. We are clothed in robes of righteousness. We are made new creations in Christ. The Holy Spirit has taken residence in our heart. The sin has been totally removed. Not only that, but Christ's righteousness, his perfect righteousness, has been placed upon our account. There's a radical change that has occurred. The Bible says, what place does light have with darkness? That's the difference. It's light versus darkness. It's death versus life. There's a total, complete change that has occurred. And I pray that we would find ourselves in that place. I mean, you see in Scripture, like places like Psalm 51, verse 5, where he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." The reality that all of us were born into a state of sin like that. Titus 1:15 says, "To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled." That's where we were. Defiled. Our mind, our conscience, everything was defiled. But now, to the pure, all things are pure. There's a change that's occurred. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus doth death spread to all men, because all sinned." Like leprosy, it spread to everybody. And yet, we look at what Christ has done and have seen that he has conquered sin and death. Conquered it. Removed it. Gone. I see this and I see the joy within a person with leprosy, and I can't help but try to put myself in that same situation and say, how much more should I be thankful and should you be thankful that your sin's been removed, the grossness of the sin, the deadening of the sin. Sin is such that it makes it so that we don't even feel anymore. We're hurting ourselves and hurting ourselves and hurting ourselves, destroying ourselves, killing ourselves, and yet we don't even know that it's taken place. That's how sin operates. And yet God has taken it, removed it, totally and completely removed it, and made us new creations in Christ. You see the story where there's those 10 that are healed from leprosy, and yet only one returns and gives thanks. 10 people with the circumstances that we just described saying, "Master, have mercy on us." And he heals them. He cleanses them. Totally and completely removed. They all left that place completely healed, completely restored, no longer in the leper colony. Everything was good. And only one came back to give thanks. What's Christ's response? Were there not 10? Where's the other 9? What happened to the other 9? You see, I pray that we would look at this and see ourselves in this particular place and find ourselves in a place where we say, I want to be the one that came back and gave thanks. I don't want to listen to something like this and just say, well, that's great. But look and say, no, my circumstances were far worse than this leper. Far worse than the leper, and yet He cleansed me. He was willing. He did it. My sin's been removed. I will come back and give thanks and give thanks and give thanks for the rest of my life, I'll give thanks and for all eternity. I'll praise him for all eternity. You see that as the story continues, Jesus strictly warns him and sends him away at once and says to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Don't say anything to anybody, just go your way. And it gives you the idea definitely that there was nobody that was nearby as far as they had all scattered when this leper came up. Christ heals him and says, don't say anything to anybody. What does the guy do? He went out and began to proclaim it freely. And you might say, can you blame the guy? I mean, literally, he was cleansed of leprosy. He was made whole. He went and just told everybody, look, look, it's me, it's me. It's your brother. It's your dad. It's me. It really is me. And they're looking, saying, no, we've seen you from a distance. We know what you look like. And you say, no, look, it's me, Jesus. He healed me. He did it. And yet Jesus said, don't go and tell anybody. The reason why is not totally known, except for we see that Jesus didn't want to be known as someone who has come and be healed as much as listen to the message of the gospel. Listen to the words. See, leprosy is not a big deal. Sin is a big deal. Christ was wanting to be there not as a miracle worker, but as a teacher to preach the good news of the gospel. And yet, he went out and spread it openly to where Jesus was no longer, it tells us here, able to go openly into the city. Because he went out and spread the news, it changed things for Christ's ministry to where if he were to even enter into the city, the crowd swarmed him in such a way that he wasn't able to do anything. And so it tells us that he was outside in deserted places, and yet people came to him from every direction. He had to stay outside in the wilderness, stay outside in the deserted places. But I look at this and I think how much different it is for us. When he cleanses us from our sin and he makes us alive, us who were dead in our trespasses, he makes us alive. When he clothes us with righteousness, when he makes us new creations, when he gives us his Holy Spirit, when he gifts us with the fruit of the Spirit, when he does all of these things and molds us and changes us and conforms us into his image and he makes us sons and daughters in his kingdom, when he's given us life and that abundantly, everlasting life through the good news of the gospel by faith alone, when he has done this, he tells us, go and tell everybody. There's a difference. This guy, Jesus says, don't go and tell anybody, and yet he can't help but go tell people. And yet, how often for us does Christ say, go preach the gospel, make disciples, and we're saying, oh, I don't want to say, I don't want to make them, they might think I'm weird. How much more, given the commandment to go and to preach the gospel and to make disciples, should we be going out to the uttermost parts of the world and here saying, behold your God, this is who he is. This is the gospel message. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but he made me alive. I was once covered in my sin, but he has made me a new creation in him. It's because of the cross. It's because of the cross. It's because of what he accomplished for me. And to freely go and preach the gospel and tell people as far as where it is that they can find a redeemer in Christ. We look and we see our position in Christ and what it is that he has done for us, and it's praiseworthy. I looked ahead to the songs that we'll sing as we close, and the first one has a wonderful little verse there. Jesus paid it all, where it says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. In this case, we'll look at it as, what is it that he has done for us? Not only has he taken away our sin, but he has taken our heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh, and he has changed that for us. He's made it so that we are new creations in him. The chorus says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The leper may have walked away saying, I'm cleansed. I'm changed. Everything's different. How did that happen? Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. We'll add on to that verse. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that's what Christ has accomplished for us. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are thankful for our salvation. Lord, you have taken the sin that covered us and removed it. You placed it upon yourself on the cross and made it so that there is therefore now no condemnation for all of us who are in Christ. I pray that you would help us this morning to see ourselves as the leper and worse than the leper. Help us to see it as we were in a place where we were alienated, not just from society, but from you. We were destroying ourselves and so numb by the sin that we didn't even realize that we were doing it. We weren't embarrassed by our sin, but basking in it and delighting in it. And yet, nevertheless, you saved us. You changed us. You took our hearts of stone and you gave us hearts of flesh. Your Holy Spirit regenerated us to where we're new creations in you. I pray that we would be the one that comes back and gives thanks. We'd be the one that comes back realizing that you paid it all and all to you we owe. Help us to be the one that comes back and gives thanks, not just this morning, but this afternoon and this evening and tomorrow morning and throughout the day tomorrow and throughout this week and for the rest of our lives. May we be those that constantly come back saying, you cleansed us. You were willing. You did it. According to your good pleasure, you did it. You were willing. We didn't deserve it. We weren't entitled to it. You did it, Lord. And I pray that that praise would just resonate throughout our entire being for all eternity. Enable us to go forth and just boast and preach of the goodness of our God and the greatness of our salvation. That people who are estranged and wandering out in their leper colonies may come and find a fountain of living waters that will make them never thirst again. Give us boldness to preach the gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.